WITY present Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia. Tales of what has been and what will be the glory days of Ileana Sports. A new podcast presented by Coach John Spezia.
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody to another Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia. And I have a close friend, a very good basketball coach, a legendary coach, a Hall of Fame coach, Coach Gene Gorley. Coach and I have known each other well over 25 years. Coach, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
A lot of history that we're going to go through with you. Let's start at the beginning. Where you're from? I know you're from Carrollton, but I'm not sure many of those fans out there know the history of Gene Gorley, who was a very good athlete.
Well, I lived and graduated from Carrollton High School.
Where's Carrollton at, Coach, so they kind of get a
record? Carrollton's about 30, 40 minutes south of Jacksonville, 70, 80 miles from Springfield, south of those two cities. It's a small town, about 2,800 maybe.
How big was the high school?
High school was probably about 300 when I was there, but I come from a small school background and always have a soft spot in my heart for small schools even to this day.
Well, you lived on a farm also, I believe, right?
Lived on a farm, and that was a great experience. I had some very good lessons. My dad taught me on the farm. I always tell everybody he was old school in terms of work ethic and dedication and seeing things. Once you start something, seeing it through. I learned a great work ethic and a lot of other things being brought up on a farm.
Well, you know, that's why we've become very good friends, because of the same background. I lived on a farm, and I didn't know all these things until we really got fairly close once you came to Danville. So tell us, what sports did you play at Carrollton?
I played football, basketball, and baseball. I was a halfback, and then I played defensive back. On the basketball team, I was a point guard, and in baseball, I played third base, second base. Those were the three main sports when I was growing up. I've taken up golf and tennis, but always tell people, when I was growing up on a farm in Carrollton, Illinois, golf and tennis, that was for the country club people. I didn't know what that was, you know, so when it was basketball season, we played basketball. And when it was football season, we played football. We didn't do intermixing and all the stuff kids do today. It just wasn't that way. So
yeah. Summertime, you probably played Legion baseball.
Played Legion baseball. Yeah. Growing up in baseball, we had Pony League, Quarry League. I think I would start like 7 to 9 and played all the way through that. Had a great time. I'm very pleased and happy I had the situation I did, being raised in the atmosphere I had there in that small town.
Well, Coach, when did you graduate from high school?
Graduated from Carrollton High School in 1963.
At Carrollton, did you win any regionals or sectionals?
Well, it's funny you say that. We had a basketball coach there by the name of Dick Hammond, who passed away in the last couple of years. Outstanding basketball coach, and one that I learned a lot of my basketball background from him. He was there, I want to say, maybe 25, 26 years. When I was there, my senior year and my older brother's senior year are the two best basketball teams that Carroll's had in terms of records. And unfortunately, we could never get out of the regional, because when we were that good, Jerseyville was that good. So we never won a regional when I was there. And actually, it was difficult for Coach Hammond, because eventually people got on him, but he could never win the regional. And many years after I graduated, he did win his first regional. I called him up, congratulated him on that, and the next year they let him go. But he was an outstanding coach, and like I said, I always felt sorry because he never got the credit he deserved. As a matter of fact, my senior year, we beat the team during the regular season that we lost to in the regional championship. So even the two best teams he had there had difficulty getting past the regional championship.
Well, so now you graduate from Carrollton. Where do you go next, Coach?
Went to Illinois College, small liberal arts school in Jacksonville.
So about 30, 40 miles from home?
Yeah, 30, 45, you know, very short drive. Wonderful experience at Illinois College. Had a great experience there with it. You know, obviously no scholarships to play. You played because you enjoyed and loved the game. Played for a guy there that I just think the world of, Bill Maris.
Bill Maris, he was there when I was at Eureka College.
Yeah, Bill was there, I'm going to say, for, seems like forever, but he probably was there at least 30, 35 years.
Well, I'm sure you're probably right.
We had a normal schedule for our conference, and it's changed many times since I've been there, but, you know, we played Principia, Eureka, Monmouth, we played those schools. But basketball, we actually played Drake one year, which was interesting, playing against a Division I. Of course, we got beat up pretty good, but it was experience. And baseball, the same way, we played University of Illinois.
That reminds me, just a little, so people know that you played baseball at Illinois College, and you played against Illinois, and there was a guy who's a pretty good baseball player that played at Illinois at the time. So I'm going to let you tell that story.
Well, I was fortunate enough. Like I said, Illinois College always had their regular schedule, but they'd always pick out one or two teams that were like Division I just for the experience, which I enjoyed. And we played Illinois my sophomore year at Illinois. It was early in the spring. I can remember a very cold and windy day. And Illinois had a pretty good left-handed pitcher by the name of Ken Holtzman. He got called up later that summer. That was his first call-up with the Cubs. And obviously, he stuck in the majors for a good number of years.
Played with the Cubs for a long time.
Yeah, played for the Cubs and an excellent pitcher. I don't like to brag about it because it's probably just luck, but I always say my claim to fame in baseball was I got a base hit off Ken Holtzman. And it was probably one of those, if I remember it right, it was just a little bloop single over the second baseman's
Coach
head.
Coach, making a difference, a bloop single or a line drive shot you got hit off him.
But anyway, it was fun to not just play against him, but like I said, I liked the idea that you could play in each sport. We would have at least one or two Division I teams, and it was a great experience just to play against people of that caliber, obviously.
Now, you didn't play football at Illinois College.
Did not play football at Illinois College.
You just played basketball
and baseball.
You had 4 years at Illinois College playing baseball and basketball. Had a pretty good career, as I understand it. I think you're in the Illinois College Hall of Fame, if I'm not mistaken.
I am. Most of that, I think, came from not just playing at Illinois College, but the basketball stuff I've done in high school. I don't know how they found out about that, but yeah, I'm fortunate enough to be in that Hall of Fame.
Right. But Illinois College, their facilities now are unbelievable. They're probably one of the better Division III facilities around.
Well, you've seen them, John, and I tell most people that it'd be hard to imagine a small school Division III now, I guess it is, could have better facilities than what they have. Matter of fact, one of the guys that's a big contributor for with all those facilities, a guy by the name of Jim Bruner, was on a team that I played basketball with, and he's done a lot of work in fundraising, and he's done very well for himself financially, and he's donated a lot of money to those facilities. But yeah, they're top-of-the-line facilities, as you know.
Right. And for fans out there, you'd be surprised. Going to a Division III school, the cost is not exorbitant as people think it is. But you're at Illinois College, play baseball and basketball. What did you major in at Illinois College?
I actually had a double major. I had a major in history, which I knew I was going to teach and coach. I had that predetermined years before I even got to Illinois College. And then I had a double major. I had a major in psychology.
Well, I didn't know that, Coach. You had a major in psychology?
Yeah. I always liked psychology. And as you know, sometimes, you know, a little psychology can work and coaching.
See, this is why we do this, because I have a master's in psychology.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I got it from Valpo, and we've known each other for a long time. I thought you had one in physical education. Then you later on, you're looking for a job. What happens next?
Well, are you talking right after I got out of Illinois College?
Yes, out of Illinois College.
Well, I had a business teacher in high school. I was thinking, you know, trying to figure out where I wanted to apply and where opportunities would be to get a teaching and coaching position. And she knew some people in Alton on the school district there. And she said, why don't you apply at Alton? And so I did. Ended up getting a teaching position at Alton, Illinois, at junior high school. At that time, it was junior high schools, grades 7, 8, and 9. That was my very first teaching job. And I ended up being the 8th grade basketball coach. And I also coached baseball and football. And I can always remember this. I don't know why, but I coached 3 sports, obviously, year-round, and got paid $742. For my coaching stipend.
That was your coaching stipend. Yeah, back then, that would have been what, 1967?
That'd been 67, yeah. Fall of 67.
Yeah. And when you did that, did you do student teaching?
I did student teaching at Jacksonville, Jonathan Turner Junior High School.
Okay.
Which is just a half a block south of Illinois College Gymnasium.
So now you're at Alton. How many years did you stay at Alton?
I was at Alton 2 years. It was 2 of the most interesting years for me. I was just a young kid, you know, 22 years old, was not married. And Alton plays in the Southwestern Conference.
Good conference.
Excellent conference. And it just happened to be that a couple years I was there, those teams were outstanding, basketball and football. And you're talking Edwardsville, Collinsville, Alton, East St. Louis, Belleville. And every Friday night during basketball season, I would go out and watch the pick out the highlight of the games, Edwardsville versus Collinsville or whatever. And I'd set up in the stands and observe those games and sit there, and I would play through my mind what I saw and what I would do if I was the coach. It was almost misleading because there were so many great teams and athletes down there at that time. I thought that's the way it would be all the time.
Well, you know? Collinsville at that time, Virgil Fletcher was the coach and the ball press. And I think that was about the time period they went to the state and maybe won the state.
Oh, they did. In 63, Bogey Redmond. They beat Centralia in the Supers by 2 or 3 points. Centralia Centralia was always one of my favorite high school teams as a kid.
Right. Centralia is all-time, I think, still the all-time winningest high school program,
right,
Centralia Orphans.
But anyway, Collinsville beat them by 2 or 3 points, 63-61, I think, something like that. And then there was nobody to touch Collinsville after that. They won by 15 or 20 points with Fletcher, Bogey Redmond, Bob Bazzola. They were an outstanding team.
Well, they had some great teams over the course of time, as you saw that. So you're at Alton. Where do you go after that?
Well, I knew I wanted to be a head basketball coach. So the Nashville job came open, which is a small town, once again, down in southern Illinois. I applied for that job, and not thinking I had much of a chance at it because I had no varsity experience, 2 years at a junior high. But as fate has, it's just one of those other unique stories. Their superintendent in Nashville at that time was a guy by the name of Bill Blaylock. He was from Pittsfield, and he knew that I played under Coach Hammond, and he knew Coach Hammond knew what he was doing. So I think he had...
Had some influence on it.
Exactly, a lot of influence. And he assumed, because I played under an excellent coach, that I would pick up some of the traits. And so he was kind of in my corner in that regard. And if it had not been for him, I really doubt that I would have got that job because I really didn't have the experience for it. They took a chance on me. There's no question. There again, that's just one of those little stories that works out.
You're Nashville. You do that. Of course, people in Bismarck understand about Nashville. They played in football the last couple of years. So you're at Nashville. You had some great success there at Nashville. Go ahead and tell the people about this. The Nashville Hornets, I believe.
Hornets, 2 years. Another interesting story about that is I replaced Dick Ruggles, who was the coach prior to me coming there. He was the year before I got there. And you know what Dick Ruggles did?
I think Dick Ruggles, I believe he went to down south someplace, one of the schools, and won the state championship.
Let me fill you in, John. He was coach of the Cobden Apple Knockers.
There you go.
And finished second in the state. I think that would have been in 64. Pekin beat him in a close ball game. They lost a 6'8 Smith kid that spring in a drowning accident.
Right.
Dick Ruggles is an excellent coach. He played basketball down at SIU Carbondale. But anyway, I replaced him, and he's still down at Nashville and stayed there the years I was there. But I was a young kid. You know, I was 24 years old, 5 or 6 years older than the kids I was coaching. And I was
head
coaching position.
Coaching, it's ironic because my path was the same as yours. I was the youngest high school coach in the state of Indiana at 24 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you knew that, but that's...
No, I did not know that, John.
Yeah, I guess that's why we both of us get along so well. But go ahead. So Ruggles goes to Cobden and leads them. Then Coach Gordy's at Nashville. But you've had some great success at Nashville. Go ahead, tell us.
Well, I was there 2 years, and my first team, we were 22-7. We won a regional, won a first game of the sectional. There again, it's different at that time than it is now. Those kids played basketball, like I said earlier, when it was basketball season. I had one natural good athletic basketball player. Andy Maxwell was his name. The rest of the kids were just good athletes at anything they did. They weren't great basketball players necessarily, but they were strong, competitive. They were very coachable. I will always be indebted to that first group of kids because I was so young. They took to my coaching, and they were very coachable. They did what you asked them to do, and they gave you 100% effort. So I was very, very fortunate to come into that situation. And then the second year, we were 24-4 maybe. We ended up in the Sweet 16 that year, and what's kind of interesting, that was the last year of the one-class system.
That would have been what year? 19,
that would have been...
1972?
71, I think, 72, somewhere in there. What is also interesting, at the Sweet 16, which is truly, you know, if you're in the Sweet 16, in the old days, you were in a state tournament.
Right, you're in a state tournament.
They brought all 16 teams to play, of course.
Which is going to happen this year, because they're going to bring all those four classes to the State Farm Center.
But anyway, what was unique about that, the year that team, my second team at Nashville, were in the Sweet 16. That was the last year of the one-class system. And in that year, there were two other, one would be 1A schools in that. I think University of Normal was there, and they had a camp kid that played basketball at Indiana.
Jim Cruz.
He was on that team.
Yep.
And then I think the other one may have been Quincy Notre Dame. And then there was Nashville. So all three of those teams would have been one class. The very last year that a 1A team could make it, they had three of them.
Wow.
In the Sweet 16.
Now who'd you play in the Sweet 16?
Oh, we went through the one game that stands out. We played to get into the Super Sectional, to get into Sweet 16, we beat Mounds Meridian.
Jim Bicey
in three overtimes.
Wow. Jim Bicey, legendary coach. He's another Hall of Fame coach, and he also coached at Shawnee Community College.
But to get to that championship game, we beat Carbondale, we beat Trico.
Carbondale was a 4A school.
Yeah, Carbondale was a 4A school. The game with Mounds Meridian sticks in my memory. It's the only triple overtime game I've ever coached in, and it was on the biggest stage you could possibly have, earning yourself into a Sweet 16 bid.
And where was that game played at, Coach?
SIU Arena.
There you go. Seats probably 10,000, 12,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great experience. And actually, Miles Meridian, the next year, he had a lot of juniors. Coach Bice, he had about three kids about 6'4", and two little guards about 5'8", and they were athletic. They were a good basketball team. They came back the next year. Now there's a two-class system, okay? They finished second in the state in the two-class system.
Yeah.
Point is, you know, we would have been good enough if it had been in the two-class system when those kids were seniors. We would have had a shot at the state tournament.
I believe Miles Meridian got beat by the Lawrenceville Indians and the legendary Ron Felling. That's another story in itself.
I'll tell you another interesting story, too. During that time frame, in those 2 years, Dalton Thornridge won back-to-back state tournaments, and they lost one game in 2 years. And you know who beat them in that one game?
Mounds Meridian.
Mounds Meridian in the Christmas tournament at Carbondale.
Yep.
And who beat Mounds Meridian? Nashville.
Nashville.
So I can boast, you know, of course you can't do this, but it's kind of fun to think about. Nashville beat the team that beat Thornridge. Their one loss in 2 years.
So you get to the Supers. Who do you play in the Supers?
It was Benton.
Another legendary basketball program and another legendary Hall of Fame coach. And is it Rich Herring?
That was Rich Herring,
Okay.
I coached against Ron, too.
Ron was at Alney for
Alney most of the time.
Right.
And Benton had, they had quite the background, tradition of basketball.
Rich,
great.
I think
they
Rick
had
Yunkus. Doug Collins.
They beat us and prevented us from getting to the Assembly Hall. I think they beat us by six, maybe. They had great size, 6'7", 6'8". They were good.
So now you finish up at Nashville, and all of a sudden there comes a phone call, and lo and behold, it's the Parrish Tigers.
Parrish Tigers. I wanted to get to a little bit bigger school, and also that was a time that the three-point shot was just coming into play, and the controversy over one or two-class system. And it's kind of interesting. At that time, I was not for the class system, but I did agree that it is good. It brings more attention to kids and more attention they get. I'm all for that. But I'm still old school in that regard. When I went to Parrish, I had quite a tradition.
Ernie Evelyn.
And Otho Tucker.
Right. Otho Tucker. Go through a list of those guys in the gym.
I've coached in three varsity gyms. I've been in many gyms, as you have, John, you know. And that's one of the gyms that stands out in my mind. That gym was built to play basketball, and it wasn't built to have PE classes where you roll the bleachers away. They got concrete bleachers there. It's a gym to play varsity basketball, and that's all it was built for, and that's what it was used for. I went to school, I had obviously great tradition. Actually, back in the mid-40s, you had Centralia, you had Parrish, you had Gay Kittner at Decatur. Those teams and coaches, you know, dominated the high school basketball.
Gay Kittner's from Covington, Indiana. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But so at Parrish, how long did you stay at Parrish?
I was at Parrish 6 years. I came in the year Otho Tucker after he graduated.
and they had a great run because they got beat by Danville.
They did have a great run. That year was also interesting because I'm sitting over at the Assembly Hall, and I pull out the program, and they got the Sweet 16 teams lined up, and there was Nashville, Parrish, and I knew at that time I was going to be going to Danville. I've thought in my mind, there's three teams, all three in the Sweet 16, and I've coached at all three of them, or will have coached at all three of them.
Well, there you go. So you're at Parrish 6 years. From Parrish, did you win any regionals at Parrish?
I think we won two or three regionals at Parrish, two for sure.
Okay. All of a sudden, the Danville job comes open, and of course, during that time period, Parrish played Danville.
Yes.
I don't know if you played them home and home, but at least you played
them
once.
We played them home and home. I played them every year I was at Parrish, actually, on a regular season schedule.
Right. So you're at Danville High School. Let's get into the meat of this with the Vikings. And, well, your first team kind of set, I think, a record, if I'm not mistaken, of getting into the state tournament. You got to the Final 16 there as you come to Danville, and a couple of names stick out.
Well, first of all, my first year in Danville, one of the most remarkable years in many aspects that I've ever had. I'm a new coach coming in. Danville's had a lot of success in basketball under Norm Hill for the most part. We get off, new coach, new system, new way of doing things, and we started a year off, I think we were 3-9 at one time, and jokingly I always tell people we weren't as good as our record indicated. And it was the truth. You know, the kids just, in my mind, they weren't fundamentally sound. The structure wasn't there that I thought needed to be. And there again, I think these young kids, because if they ever had a chance to bail out on a coach, they had that opportunity. And I've always tell people, and this is the truth, I could have rolled the balls out there and just said, go play. Go run up and down the floor. Set there for an hour and a half. They would have won more ball games doing that than what I won in the first 12 games. No question in my mind about it, because it was such a drastic change. But here again, credit those kids. They stuck with me. and they began to understand what I was trying to do with them. And I always say this too, the second half of that season, our record was not very good. We were starting to win. We'd win one, lose two. We'd win two, lose one. And we were playing good competition. But because our record was so poor, people would always look at it, well, Danville lost again. You know, they're no good. We ended up playing Lincoln the last game of the regular season with Lauren Wallace and Chuck Vertebur and pretty good talented team. We played them at home. John Hout was shooting a 1-1 free throw and we were down two with like 40 seconds to go on the clock. I knew that we were capable of playing with pretty good people. And I always tell the story too, you know, sometimes people only look at winning. They did not see that this team was getting better. And I could see it was getting better. Now, I would be lying to you if I said, well, I thought we could get to the Assembly Hall. But I just knew by the end of the year, we were playing good basketball. We were doing well. And I'll never forget, on a Sunday afternoon, I get a phone call the week before the regional starts up. This pretty young kid, I assume. He was a sports writer from the News Gazette. I don't know his name now. But I'll never forget it. He gets on the phone. He says, I'm covering the Danville Regional. And he says, you're probably ready to get the season over with, aren't you? I held my tongue, John. But I thought in the back of my
Clean
mind.
Clean Gene Gordy now held his tongue. But there's a long story about that.
The back of my mind, I'm thinking, this guy, he doesn't know me. First of all, he doesn't know my team, and that's the farthest thing removed. My idea was we're going to play well, and we're going to fight to win the regional. And we ended up, I think, winning five or six games in a row. And ironically, we end up beating Lincoln, the team that we'd played at the last regular season. They were ranked two in the state that year.
And
at that
time.
That
was the Supers.
In the Supers, and we beat them in overtime, and then went on into the Elite Eight and went to the Assembly Hall.
A couple of those kids on that team, Coach, real quick. Name
a
couple.
Well, I had a good mix. I had Matt Hout, who was a pretty good player.
Played in North Carolina.
Had John Hout. He was a junior.
Right.
Matt was a senior. I had the two sophomore guards, Ed Smith and Derek Gentry. I had sophomore Kevin Williams, and I had Derek Darnell, who was a role player. Those are just a few of the kids that hung in there and just did a great job. That first year was remarkable in a lot of ways and one that I'll never forget.
So you get to Assembly Hall, the Final Eight. Who beat you in the Assembly Hall?
Rockford West. And what's so rank about that is they were underdog, too. They came in, and they had a better record than we did, but they were like 21-10 or 20.
They had a guy named Glover played for them.
They did, and we could have won that game had we just played kind of a normal, solid game for us. We ended up shooting like 24% and still only got beat by, I think, 10 or 11. So they knocked us off, and that's when the air went out of the balloon.
Okay. Let's move on. Some of the other teams, I do want to get to the Topper Classic because there's a game in there I want to talk about. The next group, I think you won another regional in the Supers, I think, that with Brett Springer and Ted Haupt.
Well, I know we won a regional, and we played Quincy for the right, I think, if I remember, to get into the Supers. So we played in for a sectional championship, I think, is the way that was. Yeah, that was a very good team with Brett and Ted and Herman Cunningham, Hoey Watson. Actually, that team, we played Quincy on a regular season schedule when Ted and Brett were seniors. And we played Quincy on a Saturday and went over there, and I'll never forget it. We got there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the signs all over the doors sold out. No tickets available. And
that's quite a show at Quincy.
And it was right at the time Quincy had their, like, 67-game winning streak. They beat us by about 2 or 3 points.
And, was that when Douglas Brothers were playing?
Yeah, well, they were over there all the time, John, in my mind. In my mind, they
and
were there
Payne
all the time.
Yeah. Played Iowa, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we had, like, a one-point lead with, like, 30, 40 seconds to go. And I'm not inferring anything here, John, but we're holding the ball. We're going to either get fouled or shoot a layup. And we were in the flow of the stall offense, and all of a sudden a whistle blows out of nowhere, and a 3-second violation's on us. And they go down and score, and they end up beating them. But what was ironic about that, when the game was over, the people came down from the stands, came down on the floor, congratulated, shook hands with my kids and me, and on more than one occasion they told me, that, Coach, we just appreciated watching a good team play and be competitive, because they were so used to going there and watching kids get blown out by 20 or 30 points. And that was when you go over there, they'd shut the lights out, they had the Blue Devil with the flaming torch, and they would intimidate people, and our kids were not intimidated. And then we ran into them in the Supers, and they beat us in the Supers. So
there you go. We're going to get to these two last ones here. This game probably sits out of any of the Topper Classic because we at one time had the tournament at Danville Community College as a Burger King Classic, and we had unbelievable teams in the tournament: Chicago King, Chicago Fair, Peoria Manual. We even had, gosh, Crispin, Prairie
Richmond,
Central.
Indiana.
Yeah, they had teams: Richmond,
Farragut.
Farragut, and with Kevin Garnett and Ronnie Fields. Well, here's the game that sticks out in my mind, Coach, is the one you're playing Chicago King. And King, these guys are sophomores. It's Tommy Hamilton, 7'4", and Rashard Griffin, 7'. Now, I think they had a little guard that played Division I basketball. Standing room only in Mary Miller Gym. Coach, I'll let you tell the rest of the story.
Well, first of all, it's a deal where a lot of people ask me some of the games. And in my mind, in terms of pure high school, what a high school basketball game should be all about, that's the game. Like John said, the place was packed, two good teams playing, and we end up winning the ball game. Obviously, it's a big upset. I think we won 65-58 or something like that. And our kids, we didn't have anybody over 6'3", but our kids were competitors, and can't think of his first name, Hillsman.
Lamar Hillsman.
Lamar Hillsman got hot, and he hit a bunch of threes, and we got the ball in. Anyway, we just played an outstanding game, and that game was special, and it's one that I always will remember just because of the atmosphere of it was electric, and two good teams playing, and then, of course, you throw in a big upset, too. Being a Danville team to boot, it made it very special.
Well, it was, and that tournament was special because you had WGN there, you had the Chicago Tribune, Peoria.
At one time, John, I think, wasn't it rated the number one tournament in the nation?
Number one Thanksgiving tournament. Yep, it was at one time. And, you know, King won a national championship after that. And, of course, Coach Gordon, I'm going to leave the last one here. We'll finish up here, Coach, because we got many more we could tell. But it was a team that got to the state tournament with Keon Clark and that group.
Well, that was a great year also with Keon and those kids. And, well, I think we finished third in the state. What a lot of people don't know about that team is that we had two starters that only really played a half a year. DeMarco Wright got sick, the second half of the season, and it took him a while to come back. And then Atteus Clark was ineligible for a big portion of the season. So it's hard telling. We didn't have either one of those when we played in the Pontiac tournament. And I think we lost six games, and that team could probably gone undefeated. I mean, if they had everybody there all the time.
Well, I think
that good.
That was a team. King had those guys back. They were seniors. It was Rashard and Tommy Hamilton. Of course, I think they didn't lose a game. They were
34-0.
Right. And ranked number one in the country.
And arguably, and in my mind, a lot of people would argue that that's one of the best high school teams than the history of the IHSA.
I would agree with you.
The only other one that I would throw it up and compete with that would be Thornridge.
I would agree with you. I think in the case of that game, unbelievable game because they beat you to get to the state championship. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go. I think, and I will say this publicly, is that Danville team had not, King had probably the best team ever to play in the state of Illinois. Had not that team been there that year, the Danville Vikings would have won a state championship.
We'd had a shot at it, John.
Yeah. With unbelievable Hall of Fame coach. We could go on and more stuff. We didn't even touch on the Ron Felling stories and all those things, but sometime we'll get back to that. But again, we're going to wrap up with Coach Gene Gorley, the Hall of Fame coach from Danville High School. He also coached at Armstrong a little bit, Schlarman a little bit. We didn't even get into that, but we want to get it on the highlights. And I mean, he's got an unbelievable career record and have been longtime friends. Folks, again, we appreciate listening. Check in on our website, WITYradio.com. And stay tuned for another portion of Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia.
This has been Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia. For future episodes of this and other podcasts, bookmark WITYradio.com and click on the sports tab.